Company is, do you buy a house or you just buy remodeling supplies?
Maybe both. Both to build new house and to rebuild, I mean renewal the house. They have both kind of business, but I don't
know. Is it
a
kind of a design simulation?
Yes, like it's kind of simulation, but I don't know. It's
so something. You think that I guess what you're implying is that if you get somebody involved in a virtual way in the sensation of creating a home,
yeah,
or of improving their home, of doing stuff,
so
then they feel kind of empowered,
yeah,
and that once that activity has been started,
yeah,
then it will translate into them wanting to do it for a real one.
Yeah, they don't explain about the house a lot, but you know, we can participate in making house process. So I thought it was a kind of NLP, but I'm not sure. I'm
it's
just
certainly
confused.
Training.
Confused.
It's certainly changing something. If you say the existing set, in other words, the existing mindset for most people or for their target audience is home building is a big, scary thing. I'm afraid to home build. It's overwhelming. It feels so big. I'm afraid to fix things. And you create an experience for them that recontextualizes home building and home restoration, whatever, from being an overwhelming big thing to being an easy, fun little game that you can move things around. But I would argue you have reprogrammed them. You have changed their orientation to something. And then they're going to look at their home differently.
But also the fact that you that home building is really aspirational, and you can do it simply, I assume, on this website, and then you've externalized this thing and you immediately associate it with their company. Like, they've helped you make this dream a reality, even if it's just the virtual expression of it.
I think that counts. You know, and again, it's not, I mean, and anyone can sit, and we're not going to do that today, and argue about whether, oh, is this ethical or not ethical? You know, it depends where they're coming from. It depends, is it an ethical company or not? I mean, if what they're doing, it's certainly in a home builder's interest to make home building less threatening to people, right? Whether it's, who knows what they really, you know, whether they're selling you shitty land in Florida or whether they're really rebuilding your house is another story. I mean, the other example, one from my childhood, which is a little bit like that, just in terms of pure nerve process, not even mindset, is I think they still do it. Ed McMahon has this thing. He's a television host, side host. There's a contest where you can win all this money, and you take these stickers off one thing and you put them on a postcard, right? And you have to do it like 4 or 5 times. Then you also find out that there are all of these magazines that are also on stickers, and you can subscribe to these magazines by taking the sticker off and putting it on the card. Well, that's Lester Wunderman came up with this, and it's a simple neurolinguistic programming training technique where you associate taking something off and putting it on with possibility of winning the prize. This, I can get the $1 million. And it says on here, $500,000. This, I get the $500,000. This, I get the free boat sweepstakes. And this one, duh. Now there's 4 blank spaces on there. For what? These magazines. Which, oh, and this. So they.
Pavlovian thing, almost.
Yeah, it's Pavlovian. It's Pavlovian. Plus all the little conspiracy things. Because you put your sweepstakes in an envelope either that says yes or no. But yes, I'm subscribing. You know, and it's a big green envelope. Yes, I'm subscribing to the magazines and entering the contest. Or you put it in a red envelope that says, no, I do not wish to take advantage of any of your offers at this time, but please enter me in the sweepstakes anyway. I mean, the red, green, I mean, these are already simply anchored colors. It wasn't like a blue one and a yellow one, or a, you know, black one or a white, but it was red.
They've done things where, like, the red envelope is also, like,
partially sealed, like the envelope got stuck together, or it's too small to fit the thing in, so you'd have to fold it. The sinister things.
Yeah, and it's just to get you thinking, you know, sinister, left-handed,
Like the Reader's Digest contest, that is like a non-like an endless mailing back and forth.
But you keep having to mail in again and again, and each time there's an opportunity to finally subscribe,
Karl Rove was like a direct mailer. That's his thing, how he came out in politics.
And direct mail is programming, because direct mail, you don't send the same mailing to everybody. You send, if you're doing your job right, you're sending different mailings based on what you know about the person. And then their response to that lets you know more about them and so on. So it is a form of entrainment conversation.
What you got? Yeah, in my case, We see many TV commercial films every day with music and songs and many colors. And so, for example, in commercial film, a famous singer, a certain famous singer whom I like very much, eat a commodity or a certain food. We are saying I love it or something. So if I go to a shop, I buy it unconsciously. I think this is a kind of NLP technology. This is.
She says I love it.
She says that I love it worse. and I am a fan of her, so it encourages me to buy. It's a very effective and economic use of that NLP.
So what you would say, it's not then, and it's not like a product endorsement. In other words, you're not doing it because you respect her judgment. Mm-hmm. It's more you do it because you see her, she's pretty, basically, and you see her liking it. I mean, it's interesting, because sometimes they'll try to do both. I mean, you can have, you know, if you have a television doctor, they'll even have Marcus Welby, you know. I'm not a real doctor, but I play one on TV, and I recommend this drug. You know, they did things like that.
Or what about, like, more subtle examples of, like, Julia Roberts being the voice of AOL?
That is interesting. They use very famous actors.
Queen Latifah's, like, Pizza Hut or something? But they never disclose.
They never disclose who it is, but they're hoping that the voice itself is imprinted enough. I mean, they use, and this is some of them they use are stupid. I mean, like Worf from Next Generation does Neutrogena Tijo. You'll listen to it next time, you'll hear it.
It's the worst was when James Earl Jones did all the Verizon, like the 411 stuff.
Yeah, but that's because.
Bell Atlantic,
I guess. Yeah. I guess, and especially when he's Darth Vader, it's strange.
Yeah, it was like you'd call in to get a phone number and Darth Vader was talking to you.
Yeah, but that was a more of a branded voice than James Earl Jones so loved as. But Julia Roberts, it's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird, you know.
And she's like, you want to hear it?
Because they decided that somewhere in America's consciousness it's ingrained enough that even not, that would be like having her voice going, I love it, but never even seeing her image. And
wasn't that influenced by the industry itself as well? Because whenever like an A-list actor goes and does a TV commercial, it's almost looked down upon by the rest of the industry. I mean, that's why they go to Japan, and you see Arnold Schwarzenegger, like, his likeness, or, you know, exactly him, and it's like, Arnold Schwarzenegger loves this power drink, or something like that, you know?
It's more dangerous to do now in an international market. I mean, there's some serious actors selling bubblegum in another country.
There's a site somewhere. It's got a lot of those ads up, and it's just hilarious. You see how they're used. It's like, wow, I'd never think, like, you know, so and so would be doing something like that.
But that's a testament to exactly how persuasive, or how frail almost the image of the actor is in its persuasiveness. Because you're right, Bruce Willis does Gas, Brad Pitt does Ice-T, Ewan McGregor does like a horrible toothpaste. He's delicious. Just across the world,
mainly in Japan, also in India,
places where the idea is most Americans won't see those ads.
I mean, the cool thing about the example is it's extremely
simple. It's as simple as, you know, when I was a kid, we got one piece of bubble gum in a pack of baseball cards. One stick of bubble gum. And so while you're looking at those cards the first time, you're chewing, you're eating sugar. Right? I mean, that's, I know it's not NLP in the strict sense, but talking about a classical conditioning, you know, or
association. Yeah, when you get old and then you chew it and cut the inside of your mouth and you'd be like bleeding
it's
all over the place while you're reading one.
It's true.
And then they started as
tobacco
and bubblegum companies,
yeah.
And then the cards, so it's almost like a flip.
Right, the cards, yeah. I wrote this piece about it back when. The cards are like the stickier content than the gum. The cards replaced.
Also the Big League Chew, which was sponsored by tobacco, right?
Yeah.
Which is essentially getting kids to
chomp off.
To love baseball to chew tobacco, except it's
gum. Alright, I wanna do these other ones. We have to anyway. I wanna do the rest more quickly. Does anyone actually have one they were gonna do? Or was everyone just gonna relate? No one wanted to do an NLP technique on someone else? You were?
I have kind of a mass scale one.
Please.
I edit political advertisements and let's see how far I can go that way. I've been reading the techniques and it's just like, well, you know, so I started suggesting to the producer that we start doing this stuff, so we started anchoring a sound effect for the opponent's name.
I've created evil here already.
We use the same sound effect always on the word tax now.
Really?
And then we also, but I mean, we normally have fairly evil techniques.
Yeah.
We make 20 or 30 commercials, and then we send them out to what they call dial groups, which I didn't understand what the hell that was.
And now
so, like,
dial.
Yeah. Right, so they send it out to dial groups, and then they bring it back, and we have things like, could you take where it says blank deals and let's use the word insider because the insider had a good response in the other commercial, but let's take it out there and put it in this one.
Right.
And but the anchoring thing was a new thing. I had no sound.
So you take the opponent's name, you anchored that with the sound, and then whenever you use the word tax, you use the same sound. That's pure.
Is it in the same advertisement?
Same advertisement as other.
No, I mean like the sound like do you use like the negatives, like, associate the sound with something negative in the first, like, three ads, and then you stop those ads and use the same sound.
It's a fart.
It's so nice. Because, you know, like, most of the titles don't just appear on the screen. There's always, like, dissolve or wipe or something, so you always have, like, a right? And you usually, you have, like, a bank of 40 of these, right? So different word, you know, because of the way it comes onto the screen, you go whoosh, as opposed to whoosh, right? And so we took the same whoosh every time we do the name with the same whoosh for tax every single time.
So the sign itself, it hasn't got any implication with
that? You have to anchor the sound first, right? So either you find out, and this would, if it were great NLP, you'd find out what sort of sounds a person doesn't like, and what direction they look when they're thinking about that sound, you know, and then take that sound, then use that sound to associate it with the other thing.
Use like put in a minor key or something, you know, really basic.
Yeah, I mean, it's universal, but for them, it's not important in this what the sound is, because they are anchoring the sound with this negative, the negative connotation of taxes. I mean, ideally, you associate the sound with taxes first, and then associate that guy with the sound, right? If you do it the other way around, you're taking something that's value neutral, you know, whoever, right? You know, Freddie, is that his first name? I don't even know his name. The one who doesn't advertise to be near. Yeah, Freddie. Is that his first name?
Yes.
Rare?
No, well,
Fernando? Freddie?
Yeah, Fred,
he's
Freddie south of Fordham Road, and north of Fordham Road is like Fernando.
Oh. Well, anyway. You're not hurting Freddie.
As a matter of fact, we were going to make Freddie's commercials for a while, and then we couldn't afford this.
Yeah?
Can I give the class an opportunity to actually do NLP for
for something good right now for a commercial?
You need to think of it?
Not
to brainstorm.
No.
Yeah,
right.
Actually, if you could share very briefly what it is, so then we can reject it if it's stupid.
MoveOn.org is making a national commercial where the 2,000th American soldier is, we're nearing the 2,000th American soldier to die in Iraq. And
so you basically, you want a 2,000 soldier to die now so you get to make your commercial. What did the Jets stop today?
The commercial, then it would never show.
Okay.
But the commercial would definitely be made anyway. But all it is it is a coffin with a flag in the back, and it would sand, and it probably pushes in, and sand blows across the screen, and the coffin eventually is covered, and only the flag is left. And they plan on having supers underneath that say things like, you know, 168 were, you know, Red Sox fans or whatever. Things to humanize the different numbers. And then the last one said there's a counter ticking, and the counter will click to 2,000, and it says, the Bush team got us in this, will they get us out? Now, you know, that's all the commercial is, but after doing this reading and stuff, I've been thinking about, like, wow, you know, can I use a strike-through technique, or, you know, can we use different sounds or anything like that to actually help make it more impactful, make it,
I wanted to toss it out.
There is a flash presentation on the radio website of the 1,000 people who were killed. It's like, it's showing the pictures in a loop, mm-hmm. and it has like a text. It's on the website of the radio.
Did
anyone see it? The radio station of Tom Hartless,
yeah,
the website. There is a flash presentation with all the pictures of the dead.
I saw the link, I didn't watch it.
Ben Hartman did?
I think.
We links on the site.
Yeah. Huh. The first thing.
I mean, you would figure he's using NLP in anything he does, right? Or thinks
yeah.
he is.
Wow.
What if you... Should we watch it?
Sure, it's easy to find, yeah.
What if you... and there's a...
It's him.
There's also an acapella MV.
I mean, the things that I would think go against neuro-linguistic programming in that are the flag is remaining up, it sounds like, in this thing.
I mean, it's
not
to
you know,
disrespect
so,
the soldiers.
No, but it's like, it's the as you describe it, the image is that America still stands, even though these people are dying.
That's right, the flag should get covered.
You're just
going
to put more mothers to hang outside of Bush's compound here.
And I don't understand what's the call to action. Just
how is it NLP exactly?
It's not. He's wondering if there's in a sort of random way if NLP can be used in his commercial. I mean, I think you have to know what action you want people to take. I mean, it goes back. It's some of the way you talk to a real marketing client. What action do you want from people? Who are you addressing? What is their current mindset, and how do you want to change it? It's just an awareness thing? Well, just an awareness thing. You can't use neurolinguistic programming for just an awareness thing, can you?
That makes me wonder, when neurolinguistic programming is used like that on such an impersonal basis, it becomes a more controversial. And I was saying, if you ended up showing pictures of all 2,000 soldiers or something, all of a sudden, 10 mothers say, oh, well, we think he died bravely, and you know, they might end up protesting or something. Because I guess NLP just gets closer to home.
But that's an interesting, I mean, I think to stop on this example there, actually, is that NLP seems to have got some call to action, you've got to know, you're starting here and taking them there. You know, when you look at, let's go to speedseduction.com sometime. And what is that about? It's about getting a girl from the state of apathy towards you, towards fucking her. You know, so there's an actual, and it's a sale. There's a moment of sale. There's a prospect, and you turn someone from a prospect into a sale.
But you're also saying it's a dialogue. I mean, it's a conversation. It's not just an awareness thing. Earlier you were saying that it's between two people, or between two things. So
It almost doesn't, for an awareness thing, I don't know, and that's why it's a lot easier. If you were going to use NLP, it's a lot easier to use it to tell people that John Kerry is going to take your Bible away. You better call your congressman now to do da-da-da. Then be aware of this. Be sad. That's kind of what you're saying. Be sad. Be concerned.
What did Hartman have? Well, see an amazing short class trivia. Well, if he loves it, then it must be something, right? It's loading. This is kind of amazing. It's weird that the loading to me, I mean, for my program, it says this is like warning, danger, oh my god. This loading is very,
that's
how short can it be?
2,000 pictures.
It wasn't.
I think you should refresh it.
Yeah.
It was immediate.
What's the 4 bars now?
42.
3 to 4. This is boring. Okay, let that keep going. So,
this is really excruciating us.
This is horrible.
It's not on the laptop. It's running totally fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is ridiculous.
What's that program?
Particular to NLP, more than just,
I brought my 10-year-old cousin to a Kelly Clarkson concert, and she walked down to the front of the stage and said, you know, not that I'm promoting T-Mobile, but yay T-Mobile, but, you know, not that I'm promoting them. I really like this sidekick. Does anybody down there have one? Grabbed one out of the crowd and text messaged one of their friends, and then gave it back.
Wait, say that again?
She asked for a T-Mobile sidekick out of the crowd.
Just Anybody have a sidekick?
Yeah. Somebody, it's like a little
and
mobile phone
did
device.
Because she had one.
Who was it?
Kelly
somebody
Clarkson.
Somebody
lifted
she's
one
a,
up to her. She's the American.
Did you
wake
up?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I thought you meant your cousin asked. No, Kelly Clarkson.
Kelly
during the concert. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, American Idol.
Yeah, no, so she texted one of the kid's friends or whatever. For, you know.
But she might have
said,
I love this
she might have
been
under contract to do that.
Of course she was.
American Idol. No, I mean, like, when she signed on for that.
Yeah,
well,
but then
she said, one son in T-Mobile that are sponsoring the show.
Yeah,
she's like, you know, not that I'm promoting T-Mobile. I mean, yeah, I am. Yay, T-Mobile. But I really like this sidekick thing. So, you know, kind of adding a little bit of irony there and making these little kids want to have a sidekick. And they had they had screens up on either side of the stage before the show started that you could text and have your message come up, but only if you had a T-Mobile phone.
That's
but it started with the apology, that I guess is the part that...
The apology is the, like, to appeal to the post, I'm not getting marketed.
Right, the wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
The Sprite wink ad thing. Well, I'm not, well, I am. But...
I mean, the striking through and saying, we're not going to do it.
Yeah.
They're repeating the same ones, I say.
What's the thought
that it's
and how is it not close to what 2000 looks like? They're showing.
Did they really keep them or not?
Yeah,
definitely.
This is just someone's like school project, not a move on is going to do anything. That's not the same one.
No, this is not the same one. Is there a call to action to this?
Well, I have no idea. I never even saw it.
November
2nd. What they're trying to do, I mean, I don't think he's just trying to make, like you are, 2000 seem more real. But
like, what
it's tricky.
Like, what does real mean? I'm rich. Like, what point is that telling me? I mean, 500 Americans died in this many months. What happened to Iraqi?
Well, what it is, I mean, it's the problem with it. It's unlike NLP. It's just pure, it's pure sort of raw stoking of emotion. And the more times you do this without creating a true call to action, the less effective it becomes. And that's why all these movements are wondering, why aren't anybody against the war anymore?
It's a cranky bastard production.
Oh, I thought it was a Pink Floyd ad for a second.
Oh, bring it on!
Bring it on!
There's a pop-up. It's a pop-up.
That got really, that's interesting. Where's the beef? Bring it on! You know, all these little slogans that get programmed into us. You had one.
Oh, yeah. What's this site called the Confident Penis?
Confident Penis?
Yeah.
Is it really spelled like that? Confident, confident penis?
Yeah, it's about using NLP to have multiple orgasms.
To have what?
Multiple orgasms. How did you come
using
across
the swish
this
technique?
Oh, it didn't work. Is it .org?
Using the what technique?
The swish.
The
swish
confident
technique.
Penis?
Yeah.
Dash penis?
It's actually the confident penis. No dashes or items there.
I didn't know my penis had confidence or lack of confidence independent of mine. But this is exciting. Penis enlargement products.
Triple penis.
Confident penis?
Anybody else got a confident?
Most of them will never know.
That was bad. What is this? Where is the thing?
It's a long address. Maybe you can search for NLP or something on the search.
Search for this is not a search.
No, in the one the actual
search.
No, 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 no.
There's
a search
on the
website.
Close
the Google
thing.
Where is the website?
Close the
Google.
Close
Google.
Then this is theirs.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's on here somewhere.
I think this is a ad that we got direction to from the
company.
No,
NLP.
They talk about NLP itself in here?
Wait, but that's not the site.
Yeah,
you're
not
on the right site.
There's a male multiple orgasm switch. Using the NLP kinetic switch technique.
Right, so the, let's go back to the confident
penis. Yeah, you have to go back to the confident penis.
Oh, there we go.
Oh.
It always comes back to the confident penis.
Rope rider.
With the NLP.
See, I mean, this
you
is
what
we NLP. See,
you can hypnotize anyone, get them to do what you want.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Right, I'm going to go back. Confident penis.
There you go, NLP. Right, master male master male orgasm.
Where
did you
see
it?
I'm a little confused about why under any of the things it says sign up and get a real.
Oh no. Girls from New York have been lucky tonight. I guess I know I'm in New York.
From near near New York. It's kind of in New York.
Where's all those letters? absolute and M? Like,
how did you end up finding this in the first place?
This is a good one for NLP and
persuasion or something.
And
somebody left it on
the side.
Of course, he just has a
penis cover. So, found this.
Someone's
trying to dump on
I have to play the fusion part of the hypnosis.
I know, now I'm already entranced. Now multiple swish. Orgasm swish.
No ejaculation
control.
No
control required.
What's it say on our key? Kinetic swish technique.
Kinetic swish technique. The cue feeling associated. And the empty vibe that we get together. Gotcha, choose your own. The desired image. So this is bad, right? That's a bad thing, not a good thing. Desired image. Movie picture of me and I don't know if I feel the beginnings of raging energy. But remember, the desired image must be disassociated.
What does that like? What does that mean?
It means it's gotta be.
You can't be this yourself, but like I think this is hypnotic trance bullshit.
The swish pattern is an NLP mind exercise used to change how your brain body responds to something that you see, hear, or feel.
I can't look at that while I read it. I'm really training something bad. God.
What is this wish the two images mean? Rapidly pushes the images into the images and hop into place.
Swish, your swish sound, there. I'm starting to think about taxes, though. Wow.
Are they suggesting to think of nauseous, like, blood?
So that's the swish technique we're talking about here, is how that would work.
What does that do with
the orgasm? Yeah, but if it gets you multiple orgasms, you're going to try it, right?
About the swish technique and how that works. What's the first time that I saw any mention of the swish technique and then you was thinking about it? About creating an image that you don't like, or the one that has the negative feeling attached to it, up close, and then having the faraway vision of the desired behavior, and then thinking it.
And with a swish sound, changing different places.
Kind of reprogram how you approach or how you feel about a situation.
And it's interesting. I mean, so that you would do to yourself. If you were going to do it to someone else, you could do it. In theory, that technique. Do you understand the technique he's talking about? So there's something you the way you currently think of something or whatever, the thing you don't like, you keep in foreground, and the thing you want, you have in the background, and then you imagine them kind of changing place for the swish sound.
Is that should actually make the sound?
Yeah, or imagine it or do it. I guess.
But it's funny because then later he's like, clear the user's mind. So.
Well, right. He probably whipped some off, and you know, people can shove it in there. Because normally you would do it. You could do then this to someone by telling them, okay, picture this there, picture that there. Now, the more subtle way to do it, the Tom Cruise and Magnolia way, or the speed seduction way, or the hypnotist way, would be to create a situation, or to find a thing and anchor it, and you say, okay, right in front of you. You know, you're telling a story, I was there, and right in front of me, right very close, I saw this thing, but in the distance, I saw this other thing, and this wind came, shushing. By and the other one, you know, you would tell a story that used the swish technique, which is where salespeople or political advertisers, whatever, try to take these things from immediate programming to something else.
They do it in movies too, sometimes with like a rack focus, like whatever's in the foreground and background, it's like they switch.
Totally. It. These things will translate.
I haven't actually tried it. I don't know if it works.
Sure.
I found it in the lab like 45
seconds. You're all posting to the list. Like, does anyone know where I can get a swish sound?
We should just use
it. I had a chance to try it.
I'll send you the one we use for taxes.
The sound?
MP3.
Yeah. What does it sound like? Do it.
I mean, the weird thing is none of this, I mean, what's that aversion technique they use for to get people off cigarette smoking? And it never really worked, so I think they'd still be doing it. Where they like, you as you smoke, you like they give you something to make you nauseous or something.
Like,
or
like a clock drawing stuff.
That kind of stuff, yeah. But they do negative associations, and it works for like a week or two because you associate cigarettes with nausea until the deeper anchor programming comes in. Cigarette pleasure.
Isn't that part of something like cigarettes where it's actually physically addictive compared to something that's just mentally addictive?
I would guess, unless they would argue, I think anything that's even mentally addictive on some level is neurologically hardwired, and then it would be physically addictive too. But I know what you mean. It's not like, you know, like you're dependent on it for your dopamine or whatever.
This is purely a self-help method or an application of
this one?
Yeah. And you couldn't persuade someone to buy something using
Swish technique? I don't think you could. I think you could, if you're clever enough, you can translate almost anything.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't that what we were using a therapy technique anyhow? I mean, that's how we pitched it, and then it was...